Hey, Steven.
Morning.
Might just be the two of us.
I'm gonna close my door.
Howdy, Jen. Hey, Maccabee.
Hey Jeremy, long time to see. Hope you're doing well.
Doing pretty good.
Just while we're waiting, I assume we're waiting for other people to join. Is that what's going on? Yeah. I'm leading a couple of other subgroups right now on TC, and my folio time is being pulled in a couple different directions. So And it's also been like a month or so or whatever since this group has met. So I kind of want to, I'm here today to sort of figure out where you see the direction, going of what this effort is. And then I'll figure out if it makes sense for my time to go in this direction or, and some of the others that I'm being pulled in right now. So I want to be supportive if it's something that makes sense. Thanks.
It's a good thing to talk about. I mean, with just the four of us right here, we do have representation from all three councils, which I think is a good thing. But up until this point, I do feel like the conversation around community-driven development has, it's been much larger than this group. We only have one more meeting left on the calendar after this, as far as what Peter initially scheduled out. And Wolfcon was always kind of the termination of the plan for this set of meetings. But I do think moving, past this point, I don't know. Community-driven development is definitely something that implicates all three councils. So I do think some kind of tri-council effort, I mean, seems to make sense when it comes to spearheading, whatever the future of community-driven development is going to be. So, as far as the scope of this group, it was intended to basically keep the conversation going in the community. It was intended to, try to identify what the possible forms that community-driven development might take, and to prepare a presentation on that for Wolfcon. Those were kind of the stated goals for this. Also, maybe to identify a potential pilot, which I think we've done a lot of those things, not all of them, certainly. But like I said, we only have one more meeting left on the calendar. But I'd be eager to hear what you guys think, if there is a future for this group after Wolfcon, or if it should take some kind of other form. What are
Yeah.
y'all's thoughts?
The last time we met in the community council, it was my understanding that we were going to try to come up with a proposal that was kind of a synthesis out of the existing proposals that were on the table, minus the one that Kayent withdrew, but still kind of trying to take into account their concerns. We you and I actually have presentations that we're on the hook for, as you say, the CDD one with you, Martin, and Charlotte. And then I'm apparently by myself on the Contribution Network proposal. I'm kind of still trying to square this in my head. I felt like we've moved past the point where these are two separate things and they're really kind of starting to become one thing. So I think maybe it might be a good idea to sit down, pardon me, with the two groups that have been working on both these proposals and see if we could come up with a single kind of proposal for moving forward rather than proceeding with these as if they're kind of separate ideas.
I was actually going to suggest a very similar thing because you, Stephen, have a conflict potentially, right, at your time slot.
That's resolved. I
Okay.
made sure that we did not end up in the same time slot. Although kind of in retrospect, if I had, it might have made combining them a little easier.
Sure. I mean, I still think it's an option. I'm open to the idea of if we want to either collapse onto your time slot or our time slot, it might not be too late. We'll see what kind of fits we get about that. But
I definitely think it would be a great signal to have one session and speak with one voice, because the community can simply not, it is we need to be one voice. We are it's not healthy if we are being under suspicion that there are multiple ideas. So I like your idea, Stephen, and whatever slot works the best. I will be remote, but I'm happy to do any presentation. And even if I'm Europe remote, late my time, I can do it.
that's very generous of you, Charlotte. I find that when there are remote attendance to a session, it's really handy to have one of the organizers of the session be remote to kind of interface with like the chat, and it can be a really useful thing. So, how about Jen and McAfee from the TC? Do y'all have any thoughts on the idea of potentially combining the sessions or the future of a tri-council group?
I think it's a great idea to combine the sessions. By all means, I think that's a good idea. I think the trickier thing is combining the proposals, if that's what you, I think I heard that. And I've said in the past, I think there's overlap. I wrote up those threads that we talked about a few meetings ago in Slack about where I thought some of the points were that there was either overlap or potential overlap. But potential overlap is not the same as actual overlap because you have areas that could be substituted but might not be. And we were talking about diffing the proposals beyond that, and I don't think we got anywhere with that. So I think the actual combination of the proposals, to an extent, I agree with everybody. I still think that's the right approach, but doing it, I don't think we're any closer to doing it than we were before. I think if we attempt to do that in a WolfCon session, unless it's very structured, that would be a challenge because there's probably half a dozen points at least of reasonable difference and reasonable discussion, of which any one of those could easily take, a half hour or an hour of discussion.
So I would definitely warn about that. It's WolfCon is never really good for having lengthy discussions about minor things or something. So I would really think if we could present the synthesize of these two proposals and have that as this is what we have prepared for WolfCon be in scope. So that means we need to do some, and I'd say maybe some of the differences in these proposals can be a little due to different way to word things. Mike has his way to write things in his language, and I certainly have a much more practical way to address things. So it doesn't need to be huge differences, but can only be can be, but the differences can be solved by doing an editorial on, you know, simply edit the documents and make them more one document.
Stephen, how are you feeling about this idea of combining the sessions?
I'm generally in favor. I think that if anything, if we can't synthesize these into a coherent proposal, then the very least we can do is to outline a proposal where we agree and then highlight the areas of difference that are still being discussed.
Yeah, I was thinking like we have like basically kind of 2 weeks to kind of try to come up with something, and if we aren't able to like beautifully synthesize these into one cohesive whole, we could at least iterate kind of Maccabee what you pointed out is that we could kind of just present say, hey, we do have these two proposals, but we see a lot of potential for combining, and we think that that would be a good idea. That seems like something that without any new invention we could do today. We could have that conversation today. So, and I think that that would be worthwhile, but we probably should strive for something more integrated if we can come by it. Jen?
I guess I'm just still wondering how this works with what the community council is doing. I know I asked about this at the tri-council meeting and I already forgot what Tom said. Because the community council has been kind of, as far as the synthesizing and choosing, CC has been kind of running that. And so
I'm gonna go look at the
I
notes.
don't know. I guess I feel like I don't know where we are in the process or what our input is. And I feel like that's necessary to know.
But isn't
It,
we a working group? Sorry for jumping in, but isn't we a working group established on behalf of the tri-councils? So that includes CC as well. So
CC is not interacting. I mean, except for Stephen coming. At least I don't feel included in their process. I don't know.
Maccabee.
Yeah, I don't know. I was No, I mean I think CC is doing a process and they did reach out for input at one point to, you know, to all the councils to fill in their thoughts. How much or not included, I don't have a strong sense of that. But yeah, no, I don't have anything substantive to add, sorry. I'll just say I think there are different opinions here on how easy or difficult it'll be to combine these proposals and where the diffs may be. I think the only way to find out will be to do it. My guess is it'll be somewhere in the middle where there will be some integrations that might be relatively uncontroversial, but still would need to be pointed out so people can see the difference and whether they care one way or the other. And there's at least one significant difference, which is, we've talked about before, which is the emphasis on where the bulk of the community fund, like the central funding, assuming that there was any central funding, which I'm still skeptical about, but if that pool of money existed, whether it would be primarily about tier one and tier two support or whether it would be about new development. I think that's a core difference that I don't see any way to do a simple reconciliation on without, and it's, again, it's disagreeing about a pool of money that doesn't even exist, so it's a difficult thing to resolve.
Yeah.
But I yeah, I'll leave it.
I think just to loop back, Jen, to what you were saying, my intuition on this is that if you look at the bulk of the discussion that the CC has been having on this topic, it is surrounding the two proposals that we are talking about trying to integrate. And I feel like if we were to show up with a reconciled single proposal that seemed to kind of, bring the best forward from both of those individual proposals, that the CC would be open to, to moving forward with that. Now we don't have any guarantees, and we don't have a mandate or something from them to like, to do that. But I mean, they are aware of us as being part of the conversation, and I do feel like we have their ear. I would be eager, Stephen, to know if that's your impression of things from the CC side of stuff. And then, Jen, I see your hand.
So, Jeremy, restate the question again. I'm sorry, I was digging through these notes looking for the answer to Jen's question.
It's all right. I'm saying that because the two proposals that we're looking at integrating are two-thirds of the conversation that the CC is already having about this, I feel like they would be open to, you know, to looking at a synthesized version of those two proposals. I think that they would kind of welcome that input.
I'll go further than that. I think that the efforts that we've been we, the wheel spinning that we've been doing for about the last month and a half has been around these two proposals and trying to come up with a coherent synthesis. So I still like the idea of finding the areas of commonality and stating those up front and saying we feel like we have agreement on these things. And then listing the things from each proposal where we feel like there's a potential gap, at least, if not an actual gap in agreement on those items, and then basically putting those out there for people to think about. Sorry, I'll end the
Jen.
floor, Jen.
Sorry. So I think maybe a little bit what I'm struggling with is conceiving of this as a presentation when it sounds like what we want is a working session. And it doesn't seem like either one of these time slots is long enough for that. Like maybe the one at 3:50, although I have a conflict at that time and I'd be sad to not be able to participate. The other one is how long is this? Oh, the other one is long too. Okay, never mind. So maybe if we could just like make it clear that it's a discussion and not, I just don't feel like we're going to have a final proposal of reconciling these before WolfCon.
What if this is a wild idea, but what if we used both time slots to try to get a lot of work done? What if we took whichever one chronologically occurs first to kind of do a set up the problem kind of thing and maybe get a conversation structured and start it, and then we use the second one to just do the conversation, the working session kind of thing?
It's a good idea.
That
McAbee
makes
just
sense.
threw a bit of a monkey wrench, though.
Oh no.
Well,
Not again, McAbee.
in practice, I think, I don't know this for sure, but I have a feeling that the CC and the council co-chairs will decide that either the CC session itself on Friday or the joint session Friday morning are where a lot of this will be discussed, but that doesn't stop anything what we're talking about here. By all means, a session. I'm less concerned about the presence of this at WolfCon. I really am. I think I'm more concerned with what this joint thing would actually look like and whether that's possible.
Well, I would hate to lose y'all's input. Which one? So the 350 slot is the second or the first meeting?
Second.
I'm sorry, the second one. So it would be more of like the working session kind of piece, which is probably where y'all's input would be the most valuable, since the first one will be kind of more canned.
Could you repeat when are the two different slots and which one is this working group's original one?
So on the
I do
wolf,
think I have it up.
I've got it. So the schedule has the contribution network on Wednesday at 3:50 p.m. That's the
So
one that
that's
times.
I need to 3:50 p.m. So that's
Well, that's my time.
9
It may be localizing
50.
here.
Yeah.
And then the CDD talk is that same day at 2:30 p.m.
All the way to 350. So they butt up against each other. So it would
They
literally
do.
be like, wait, I would, man, wouldn't it be crazy if they were in the same room? We just pull right through.
So let's see. Contribution Network is in Mission. And community-driven development is in Pershing Place East.
Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah.
And what time was the other one? The hours session?
2:30.
Our session is from 2:30 to 3:50. The nice long session.
Okay.
Well, I feel for my part, I feel pretty good about the idea of outlining the two proposals. Another section of a proposal that I thought might be worth getting out there, just because there might be some kind of fatigue around discussing this stuff in the community, possibly. I don't know, but it seems like it would be good just to start things off with why is this an important topic? Just to kind of remind everybody, the reasons why community-driven development, is an important thing and maybe worth our time discussing it at length. Don't know. What are y'all's thoughts on that? Do you think people are pretty well oriented around that already, or is it worth mentioning again?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say, I think people have different priorities about it, even at that stage. I think a lot of the reasons these proposals are different is because people have very different feelings about what this might look like. People have different feelings on whether there should be an attempt at a central development effort, about whether that should be funding a single team or distributed elsewhere, about whether it should be funding support or new development, about whether decision making on these things should be central or distributed. I don't think we have consensus on those things. We have consensus on problems, and CC seems to be trying to get to some consensus on solutions, but I don't know that we're necessarily there yet. And that's hot off the presses as of the last week or so. I think the framing of it that our group has had a couple months ago about, like, here's a process by which we could fund individual development efforts centrally, I do not think we have community consensus around that. I think it seems to be, well, I don't know. I haven't heard.
I just want to echo what Maccabee is saying, is that I think a little part of my difficulty is that it feels like we're assuming consensus in places where we don't really have it. And also, the idea of just reconciling these two proposals, I think, potentially ignores other things that have been discovered in this time period. Like, there's more that's going on than what's just written in these two. I guess for me, I'm specifically thinking about like the kInt modules and the maintenance, and like that's like a potential real deadline. So, and I'm not sure I could say exactly where these two proposals come on that. And I don't think I agree even with myself of how we should act on that. So.
I have been, I'm not even really sure that I'm unclear, and I'm sorry to jump in front of you, Maccabee, but I was just gonna say I'm not really clear on the role that community-driven development can or should play in the very important issues that kInt has surfaced. I mean, I do see the idea that, at least under this the DIP model, that there would be contractors involved, so there would be some money flowing into organizations like kInt, under that model. But the idea of like a sustain the sustainability of development over time, the closest that anything gets is the maintenance piece in Mike's proposal. But it's the ability for CDD to address the issues that kInt brought forward is unclear to me. Maccabee and then Charlotte.
Yeah, I want to be clear. My pessimism on this, I don't want to distract from people's optimism, meaning if someone does have this vision that these proposals can be combined in a meaningful way, and I think Jen is absolutely correct. It's not just about those two, it's not just about Gurel's proposal and the Jeremy, what you had written up. It's also, as Jen said, sort of the problem statement that has come out of CC in the last couple of weeks and these specific solutions that we're trying to address. If someone is optimistic and thinks they can actually combine those proposals in a way that does address what that CC process defined as the core, potential solutions, I would love to see that. And I think that would be a great effort. I don't see it coming out of these Wednesday discussions or like, as in, I don't see us building it while we're talking about it in these meetings. And I'm doubtful it could come out of WolfCon either. It seems to be like someone banging their head against a wall for a few days, or perhaps, as Charlotte said, asking ChatGPT to do the work. But yeah, I'll leave.
Right.
So the K-INT manifesto is kind of, it's such an oddball, and it is, I must say, the work has been paid by GBV, and then the vendor suddenly claims I own the code, or the contractor claim I own the code. In a way, and it's not, it should not be on the table, and we should not
Sure.
have contractors having these kind of ideas. I think as community, and I'm not speaking as coming from Index Data, I'm speaking
Yeah.
as someone contributing with my work every day to an open source.
I am with you, Charlotte, in that I think there were a lot of problematic elements to what was being proposed, but I do feel like those problematic ideas came from some real pain points that I feel like index data probably shares with KINT as far as the sustainability of development efforts. And I guess what I'm saying is, like, this is not the first time I've heard organizations like KINT express frustration with the sustainability of development funding. And I don't agree with the solution that they propose, but I do want to take that issue seriously and try to come up with some sort of mechanism that makes it feasible for development, contractors to engage with our product productively. Jen?
I just want to say I wasn't talking about the manifesto. I'm
Oh.
talking about their assertion that they are not going to maintain their modules to TC standards unless that
Oh.
maintenance is funded in some way. So, and I think that presents multiple scenarios. One is that GBV, I don't know, keeps giving them some amount of money that makes them keep doing it. One is that the community says, okay, we'll take on the funding of this maintenance. One is that EBSCO says if they're not going to maintain it, we will. Thereby EBSCO taking over more of the code base and not less. And this issue could also be scaled up, the TC has these requirements for maintenance. Does the community then put their money behind
Yeah.
making sure that those standards are met? And like I
Yeah.
said, I definitely have mixed feelings about, I mean, those are the three scenarios off the top of my head, and I have mixed feelings about all of them. And I'm not sure all of them are what people are intending to have happen.
Yeah, this gets to something that I hear Steven talk about a lot, which is kind of shrinking up the scope of what the community takes direct responsibility for, just because of the potential sustainability of that decision. But I do in my mind, if you rewind the clock a few years, my concept of how this stuff worked was every time we greenlit a module that we were as a community implicitly kind of taking responsibility for that module and its sustained existence within the releases of Folio, which is why it was so on some level terrifying to me to see just the number of modules just grow and grow and grow. And because I knew that we didn't as a community fund maintenance on on any of these modules. I can see a business rationale for somebody like Kayant, keeping modules in the Folio ecosystem, being that when feature development does need to happen on a module that they created, they're the go-to folks to hire to to have that done. So, I could see that being a potential source of income that is ongoing, but I could also see the math on that being real close as far as like the effort to keep these things in flower releases just so that you might be paid to do some work on them. That that doesn't seem like it necessarily works out. So I don't know. It is problematic that the product council can green light so many modules. Really the only organization that puts brakes on how many modules comes through is the technical council, from the technical perspective saying, we have these requirements for things. And I do think on some level it's kind of a healthy thing for organizations to say, well, we, the money's not there to meet these requirements. I don't think that means we need to relax the requirements, but we need to figure out, do we want to see those modules go away? Are we willing to see that? Or do we want to, continue to commit to them? I don't know. Jen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're not going to fix governance problems by adding more developers. Like, I think that's kind of been one of my complaints from the beginning. We have such a hard time making decisions. And like, I don't want to like blow up the scope of this, but in some ways saying, oh, we'll build this contribution network is easier than dealing with the decision-making problems that we have. And I think, one of the issues I did have with Mike's proposal was this sort of extra council governing body. And part of the reason why he wanted that body was to get around the decision-making problems in governance.
Well,
So, yeah.
yeah, that's why I feel like, again, our overall governance model is too broad. We concern ourselves with so much with the limited resources that we have. And I think, rethinking about what we think what the scope of that governance model should be and what components that it actually governs would enable us to make more strategic decisions about the pieces of the platform that are truly universal and are foundational to what we want the product to accomplish. I think we oftentimes get pulled off into these weedy discussions about a lot of things, like for example, the Kayant thing, right? I don't know exactly so which modules that they have, which are in scope for the or would be in scope for the call the core product. Maybe you guys can fill me in on that a little bit, but
So agreements and licenses and open access and dashboard.
not open access. Open access, I don't think has ever
And
come up.
the what's it called? Interaction. So all the number generators work and serials management. So it was a long list. It was on page one.
So I guess my point in this would be that if we were able by this exercise of narrowing the focus of our governance activities, if we could do that, then things like what Kayant is proposing wouldn't be as impactful to the community, and that we would have hopefully other alternatives to meet those needs, or at least could start thinking, have the community start thinking about them without involving the entirety of the governance process around that, right? Again, the my idea is thinking that the only the core componentry of the Folio platform would be subject to the official governance or the organizational governance model that we have, but that would also enable us to be a lot more, in my opinion, decisive and more firm about our decisions about those core components. We wouldn't get embroiled in a lot of these, I'll call them side quests. But
I almost think.
Very quick. I need to say that if we allow this kind of development, not right now, but in 12 months from here, where will that lead us? Because then all modules will have a pay tag, and there's no difference between if you're a large library or a small library, and you maybe even. It can be in that situation that it's only 10 libraries who want to pay for serials management, and then the contractor says, then we cannot do any development on that because it's not volume, there's not, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's really going to be the end of Folio if we start work like that.
I think, all right, hear
And
me
there
out. This is
will,
a
okay. There will
radical
definitely
idea.
be no GBV will not, come in with a big, they have funded this big time, big time. So they will not continue doing that if their 200 libraries potential are to pay monthly amounts like that. Then, so.
Well, I think at that point the option would be to use the open source mechanisms that we have in order to fork their project and to basically kind of take over our own version of that for our own needs. And they can, if they want to sell a version of the module to customers or they feel like they can do that, that's good on them, I guess. But that's, I guess that's what I'm trying to say is attempting to govern all of these things in a manner that is consistent and sustainable across the entirety of the community and the ecosystem that we've created is unsustainable. That's why I keep saying we need to narrow the focus of governance.
I
Charlotte,
just
would
need,
it?
yeah,
Okay.
sorry, but I just, yeah, sorry, I'm j not being polite here, but
It's okay. Go ahead.
the overnight the reshare code was hijacked. You probably don't know the full story, but it was, and it was renamed, and it was blocked, etc., etc. So index data was in a huge problem because we had collaboration with. And then it was suddenly removed because by the partner we work with, the partner we paid for, paid the to work for us with several FTEs. That
Okay,
could
so
be the problem.
maybe I'm misunderstanding, but the license under which that was developed was what? Apache 2? MIT? What was it?
Oh, I don't know. I cannot answer that.
Because that has a lot to do with the legal rights that you have around the code, no matter who developed it, as to what license was attached to it. But I guess my. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, I want to take the conversation in a slightly different direction, but
Okay, go ahead.
okay. As we've been talking, it's become clear to me that, whether we shrink the scope of what modules the community officially supports or not, every time we offer support for a module, every time we greenlight a module to be part of the Flower releases, there is an implicit financial component to that per module.
Yep.
And because of that, it's a scarcity situation. There is an upward limit of how many modules we as a community can support. And I look at like how the product council conducts itself when it comes to green lighting modules. The product council who has never said no ever to any module that has ever been proposed to it. On the flip side, I look at the technical council, which has a mixed record of accepting or rejecting modules. And I don't. I think one of the reasons why the product council has such a wide open gate is because they do not behave, we do not behave, being a member of the product council, as if it is a scarcity situation, as if there is a scarce amount of resources to support the modules that are being proposed. I wonder if it might not be a good idea, since accepting a module is implicitly a financial decision, and financial decisions are the purview of the community council. If the community council were to decide on an annual basis how many modules we could afford to add or maintain in the project at this current time based on resources, and if that decision, the product council was responsible for basically allocating that number to the modules that we officially support, if that would not, make one, ensure that we actually were able to support the modules that we said we supported, and two, maybe make the product council make some harder decisions about what features actually really are important to us as a community. I know that's a really dramatic idea, but you don't have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think you might tie that potentially to what Stephen was talking about in like a more concrete way. If when you approve a module, you kind of give it a designation of like whether it's part of that core stuff that we're governing or not. And then you wouldn't have to limit yourself. You could still approve whatever you wanted. The question would be the level of support.
Yeah,
Yeah.
module kind of concentric circles of modules has that's been a proposed idea for quite
Yeah.
some time.
And I think my original kind of thought for this was that the core product would be basically the platform. So like the underlying technologies that form the Folio platform, like right now it's the Eureka stack, I guess, along with the Postgres database, as well as a couple other things. Those become kind of the core componentry for the platform, as well as the modules for which every single institution would be implementing, or let's just say, use the Pareto principle. If 80% of institutions are using a particular module in their implementation, that becomes kind of a core module for the platform, and that falls under the governance process and is, subject to all of the guidelines and standards and mores that we have that dictate how the product is developed. And then anything else kind of falls into this second tier, where if you want to create multiple tiers outside of that core, you could, but let's just say for the thought experiment, it's just kind of one thing. And it has a set of loose governing principles that kind of go around it. And we ask for developers that would contribute to modules in that sphere to adhere to a certain set of principles and guidelines, as it would probably be beneficial for their customers to stay in step with what the project is doing overall. But it's not a requirement. But it is also one of those things too that when libraries adopt those modules, they are aware that those modules specifically are not governed by the same process and are not subject to the same rigorous testing and standards that the core product gets. And so it's kind of a you have to do your own research and understand what you're getting into at that point, and we don't have to try to give the same level of assurance to those that we do to the core product. And again, in my opinion, it kind of doesn't solve the kent problem, but it makes it, I think, a less of a problem, because, well, kent can go do what they want to do, and that's fine. But we are also free to basically branch their code and go do with it what we'd like.
We got 15 minutes left. I think we've covered some good ground, but I do want to come up with a game plan for these sessions. Before we got into this meeting, I was going to propose that the next meeting that we have basically just be dedicated to outlining the presentation, what we felt comfortable presenting. Still think that that would be a good idea, but now we have this idea kind of in the offing of combining the sessions. It's a lot of time. I mean, that's 3 hours of time, all told. A lot can get done in that amount of time. I think we need to make a final decision on whether or not we want to do that or not. And I'm open to it, Stephen. I think it really comes down to what you want to do. Because let me ask you this: how did you end up being the only person responsible for an hour and a half discussion on a
I don't know. I honestly don't know. That should not be just me. I saw that on the agenda and I was like, I said at least Gorel should be in there. We and you know Kirsten had been, I think, our other kind of collaborator on that, and she would be remote, I suppose, if she were able to be there at all. But
Okay. Yeah.
Gorel should be on the hook too, and I'm kind of wondering why he's not.
Well, yeah, so I'm gonna defer to you. I'm willing, I think, I mean, well, and Charlotte, I guess you also. I'm willing to do the combination, if you two are, and if not, I'm willing to try to go you go it alone on the DIP proposal.
I would be happy to read it through, your doc, yeah, or help if I can, but I'm not a native English speaker, so it's yeah, it's, you are all much better doing wordsmithing these things, but I can read.
You do great, Charlotte. Stephen, what are your thoughts?
A jumbled mess.
Regarding your session and Mike Gorell not being in, just reach out to
No,
him
not
and
just
ask
that.
him
It's
to
just
be
the
there.
whole.
I honestly think that if this is going to move forward at all, if this is going to move forward at all, we, those of us who are involved in the councils, are going to have to create some sort of a call it a concise representation of the conversation to date with, again, in my opinion, the items that we agree upon, at least in principle, if not in specifics, and then highlight the areas of disagreement or the areas where we have not really addressed concerns so that people can have an understanding of what kind of where we are. If we're going to actually produce something that is going to move forward, then I think that we owe it to the people participating in the conversation to come up with a proposal that may or may not address all of the areas of concern, but it would at least be a place that we could start, so that we don't become embroiled in the I hate to call it minutia, but it kind of is, become embroiled in the details into a level that we can't make any sort of meaningful decisions about what we're going to do for next steps. I feel like that's constantly where we end up. We constantly end up hashing out details. We have these kind of large points of understanding around the big problems, and then we end up drilling down on two or three issues that just that really get us jammed up, and we're not able to make any sort of decision about what we're going to actually do. And that goes back to what Jim was saying earlier. We're not great at making decisions as a governing body. So I think I'd like to short circuit that a little bit and just present at least the things that I feel like we have some agreeance on, so that we can at least provide a way at which people can start thinking about this as kind of start to make it a real thing and not just constantly debate it back and forth as we have in the councils.
Charlotte?
I like that idea that we kind of identify known issues, just like when we are doing programming, that we have some known issues and we will address them later. That's all fair because sometimes things mature. Sometimes you can say that complications or problems or things you thought would be huge. Sometimes it's dissolving, and it's not the big thing when we are ca kind of in progress. And we could also talk about that we want to have a this is with a longer time perspective on. It is also we are thinking the state of folios, a health check 5 years from here. So no one has promised us that EBSCO will be funding this much in 5 years from here. So we need to have kind of start thinking about how will this look like a little more ahead. EBSCO has actually promised us they will scale down. So that we, in fact, we know.
Okay, I'm going to, but I just typed up a very quick outline in the chat that I'm gonna send. Okay. So something like this could be a rhythm for the presentation. Why is CDD an important thing for our community? Which I agree with the concerns that there's not just one reason. There's a lot of different perspectives on why that might be a thing. Just kind of an overview of like what ideas have currently been proposed. If we can come by it, a unified proposal or maybe the beginnings of one, a vision for how it could be combined. The known issues that still remain, and then some discussion on how, you kind of open the floor up for how these things can be reconciled. And I think that if we were willing to go with something like that, we could divide that up and stuff. But right off the bat, I'm going to throw out there that the hardest part to me seems to be that middle piece, the unified proposal. That seems to be the thing that is, and I'm going to propose that since Stephen and I are co-local, and he's responsible for presenting on one of the proposals, and I authored the other one, that if Stephen, you have any time, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, that you and I get together in your office because it's much more comfortable than my office, and just see if we could hammer out some sort of idea that unifies those. And if we can't do that by next Wednesday, then we just ditch the idea of the unified proposal. But if not, we show up here at the next meeting with something for you all to look at. As far as that goes. So I don't know. What do you think, Stephen and everybody else?
Sure.
Sounds good.
All right. And I also was going to ask Charlotte if you would mind. You were just talking about the idea of these like known issues, that when you like the idea of presenting the known issues, would you mind in the next week coming up with just kind of identifying what you see as like the issues that community-driven development can address? And then also, I mean, we'll have to iterate on this after, if we get a unified proposal, we'll have to iterate on known issues because we'll have to see where it falls short. But just what are the issues that we're trying to solve, basically?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay. I think this looks like something that could shape up into a proposal. I think next week, depending on how all this homework goes, we'll have a good instinct as to whether or not combining is right or not. But one thing I'm going to volunteer to do is reach out to the conference organizers and see if the description of the two sessions potentially could be changed in order to indicate some kind of unified through line between them both.
Sounds
Any
good.
other thoughts before we close this down?
The only thing I was going to throw out, and I'm sure Charlotte is already thinking this, is that I do think for the known issues, it'd be good to just acknowledge that we don't want to see a long-term degradation in the quality of Folio. Like, that's a thing that I keep. Like, people already, those of us that are using it every day, struggle with it enough. And we really don't want to see things get worse. So I think we need to let people know that we're thinking about that.
Yeah, as somebody who is on the other end of a lot of support tickets for Folio, at this point, I hear so much when something goes sideways in Folio, people just go, well, that's Folio. And, I have such mixed feelings about that because I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, I wish it wasn't Folio. I wish that wasn't the way people felt about it, So. All right. Well, if anyone has any other ideas, we have that Slack channel. We can continue to discuss this stuff asynchronously. So don't be afraid to throw stuff out in there. And yeah, good luck. And Stephen, I'll get with you about setting up some time to talk about that stuff.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
Yeah, bye.